We've got a special caller on the line. Duff has worked his magic here, and we have connected. Is this Robbie Hummel?
Yes, it is.
Robbie Hummel, everybody on the program. Buddy, hey. First off, congratulations. This three-on-three thing is it's the new sensation sweeping the nation, three-on-three. And we're glad to see you get back out there and compete for USA, buddy. So talk a little bit about your experience with it so far.
Yeah, it's been fun. I'm out at the Olympic Training Center right now, and when I retired last October, you guys remember Craig Moore? He played at Northwestern. He was just a senior when I was a sophomore. He's been on me ever since about coming out and playing three on three with his team. He's, you know, he's the captain of the U.S. national team, and he's kind of on me all year. And it's kind of the more I thought about it, and I away from the game so much, I didn't really get to play a whole lot this winter. So I'm kind of trying to catch back up here quickly. But yeah, I played in Seoul, South Korea last weekend. And I'm in Colorado Springs now, and I'll be in China in 2 weeks. So we'll see.
Oh my gosh.
That's a travel schedule.
So how would you characterize your game at this point?
A little rusty. Jumper, the first day I played in Seoul, I was like, dude, I suck. That's how I felt. And actually, I got a sec on day two. The officials aren't the best, let's just put it that way. You'd think with it being officiated by FIBA, it would be one of those deals where, like, it's called closer, but it's a free-for-all, kind of. It's kind of like the three-on-threes you think about with Gus Macker, where there's no fouls. So that's been an adjustment. And then on day two in Seoul, I shot it much better, played much better. It's kind of like riding a bike. I still can't dribble. That's the thing. If I don't play a lot, I suck at dribbling. So I really struggle in that regard. But usually I shoot it pretty well, even if I don't play a ton.
We're talking with Purdue legend Robbie Hummel, who's playing on this U.S. Men's 3-on-3 National Championship. He's a part of one of the rosters here. One thing that I saw about this, and I got to ask you, because I don't think there's no way you name this. Who came up with aerial turtles? Is that something that just stuck with you guys, or what was that name?
First off, I'm kind of the new guy, so I definitely didn't name the team. I don't know about the turtles. I know aerial is the business that kind of sponsors this whole thing with travel and all that. So aerial is an investment company out of Chicago. I'm not sure why the turtles is the name. Last week we were Team Princeton because, again, the guy that is the CEO of aerial played basketball at Princeton, and a lot of these guys that I'm playing with are from Princeton. So I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, describe your team, Robbie. You mentioned a couple of guys from Princeton, and then a name you know our listeners would know is Jatim Young there from Northwestern.
Yeah, so Jatim's playing. He obviously played at Northwestern. And then it's multiple Princeton guys, so I doubt that people in West Lafayette would probably watch a whole lot of Ivy League basketball. And Craig Moore, who was also Northwestern, and Zaire Carrington, who I think played at Lehigh. So a lot of kind of a smaller school influence, but really the reason I got into this is because of Craig. Craig was kind of the guy that got me to do this.
You know, you did the three-on-three tournament, the inaugural one down there at the NCAA Final Four weekend. Of course, Vincent and company won that for the Big Ten. Did those guys give you, did you ask about any tips on playing the three-on-three from them? Do you pick up anything from watching those games?
I learned from the rules. It was definitely good for that. I would say, though, just from talking to the guys, because the guys that are on the team here, they were actually coaching the kids. They went down there the day before, and they kind of taught them the rules and strategy a little bit. And honestly, from what they said, they you would not want to talk to them about that. They were basically just falling out because the rules are different. You know, it's half court. You don't check it up every time. It's a fast-paced game. So there's a lot of nuances here that you wouldn't maybe do in 5-on-5 that you do in 3-on-3.
Yeah, so how much of an adjustment was that for you? Because you're right. I mean, you're used to playing 5-on-5, and now it's almost like a total 180 compared to just a normal game of basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's certainly been an adjustment, but mostly cardio, the cardio adjustment. I'm not probably in the best shape of my life currently, cardio-wise, but it's fast-paced, and especially here, you're at like 7,000 feet, so tomorrow could be interesting.
Well, I know we talked with your colleague, John Crispin, several weeks ago, and he was talking about this three-on-three basketball, and he feels like it's like really going to take off, like to the point of it being like an Olympic sport. I mean, do you see it getting to that point someday?
Well, no, it is an Olympic sport.
Okay.
In 2020, that's done.
Awesome.
So, oh, wow.
That's already happened. I just think as the sport progresses, I assume that they'll kind of clean up the game. Right now, they probably let way too much go. It's way too physical. There's too much fouling. But I think if they do that, it's really fun to watch. It's fast-paced. There's a lot of shot-making. It's pretty cool.
You know, we've really enjoyed you behind the broadcaster's table this season, Robbie. I tell you what, you really see the progression. You did a fantastic job that second half of the season. Really, really enjoyed that. Are we going to continue to see you behind the microphone, maybe calling some more Boiler games? I mean, this 3-on-3 thing takes off. You get in shape. I mean, I'm just saying, there's some options
three
now.
3-on-3 will be a summertime activity for me. This is not a full-time job. And I have no interest in going back overseas to play 5-on-5. So you will see me doing TV again next year for sure.
Nice.
So how much fun was that for you, Robbie, to still be involved, you know, with the sport? I know not playing, you know, during the winter, but to be there and be able to talk about basketball and interact with the coaches and players.
Yeah, I know. It's a blast. I mean, I'd take that over playing overseas, to be honest with you. I hated it that much. I got to the point where I legitimately walked away from the game, I guess, at age 28, where I was healthy enough to play. That wasn't it. I just hated every day. So I think with that, it was fun to be back in an environment where it felt like basketball was relevant. You play in Russia or Kazakhstan or Siberia or wherever, and you've got 140 people at the game, and the stadium seats 16,000. You really question the relevancy no matter what the paycheck is. So I had enough. I was completely fed up, and it felt good to be back in a place where basketball seems important again.
So what was your final analysis on the Purdue season? Obviously not as far as, you know, that team wanted to go and the fans wanted it to go, but what'd you think about a 30-7 season?
No, I think, you know, with the circumstances, it's a success. How could you not? You lose a guy that's a huge piece of your team, and he's somebody that I think if you watch Purdue play, especially at the end of the games, they threw him the ball mostly every possession because you knew that with Isaac you could get a good shot. So you take that away. And it just takes the wind out of your sails. I mean, you have a week to prepare, and actually in the Butler game case, you have a day to prepare. So I just think some of the criticism was completely unfair, and you know, you got to use your brain too. It's like you got to use your brain for what the circumstances around those games are telling you. And unfortunately, I think some of our fans don't do that all the time. So. With all things being said, it was a success, and it's unfortunate, but for some reason we just seem to have some bad luck.
Yeah, because you got to think about it. I mean, you know, like fans get upset and start saying things on social media, but I'm guessing that as upset as fans are, that Coach Painter and the players were even more upset and disappointed that they couldn't go as far as they wanted to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as a player, your goal is to get to the Final Four. So you have a team that all season has been capable of doing that. Unfortunately, I think I can speak on that subject as well as anybody. I was a part of a team that kind of was in the same boat where you're ranked in a position to get a one seed and it kind of gets taken away from you by an injury. It really takes the wind out of your sails, and I think it's just kind of unfortunate. Of course, those guys wanted it as bad or more than anybody else. So it's just a tough situation. It stinks that it happened, but it's part of the game, obviously, with injuries.
Chatting with former Boilermaker Robbie Hummel here on the Hammer Down Show. And Robbie, no Jell Eastern and Carson Edwards are going to go through this NBA draft type process here over the next several weeks. I'm guessing you're thinking that's a good thing for those guys, and you've been down that road in terms of trying to impress NBA scouts. What's this going to be like for these guys?
Yeah, I mean, with the way the rule is structured, why not? You know, there's no downside to doing it. You could always go into a workout, really impress somebody, and all of a sudden, you know, you can vault yourself up the draft boards. I think probably Carson has a better chance than Nogel at doing that. But, you know, Nogel does have measurables that measure out to the NBA. I think he's got to work on some things skill-wise, and I'm sure he'll hear that. And, you know, he'll have kind of a baseline for where he needs to go from here. But it's the most, you know, I just remember I didn't actually get to declare early because I'd hurt my knee, but I remember going through the draft process. It's just a very stressful time because you're constantly trying to prove yourself at the highest level against guys you've seen on TV and other college conferences and even guys from within your own conference. And got to be in great shape. The conditioning aspect of it is pretty intense. They want to see if you've been working out. And then to top that off, you've got the interview process where they seem to know everything about you. So it can be a difficult deal.
Well, hey, before we let you go here, promote the Aerial Turtles here one more time. Let our listeners know in terms of when you're playing and what's happening this weekend.
I think we play tomorrow at 10 a.m., but I need to look at the schedule.
That's important.
I'm not sure. I got here this morning. I just worked out, and we have a meeting tonight. But I know that we play 5 games tomorrow, which is a lot. Then the tournament is on Sunday. So
prayers up for Robbie's cardio. We'll definitely say a few of those tonight. Hey, Robbie, we know you're super busy, man. We really, really appreciate you taking the time to call into the show and tell us all about it. Hey, best of luck to you as you make that trip over to China, and ball out, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, thanks Robbie. Jeff.
Thanks, man.
All right. Yeah.